Good morning. This is the morning shift. I am he and he is I, Bo Morgan, also known as Squid Billy, and he is the All-American from Alabama and former Falcon, Michael P. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson.
That's right. I hope you're doing well this morning, my friend. Look, if you weren't awake right now, hopefully your tweeters and your car exploding from Bo yelling at us absolutely woke you up.
Rise and grind with us.
Did you have were you the type, because I know the answer for me, were you the type when you were a teenager to have subwoofers in your car?
Yeah.
Cannot confirm nor deny that you had an amplifier in your car.
I had the old Ford 5091 Mustang in high school, the LX version, it wasn't the sedan.
Right.
This is kind of like a hatchback.
I know what you're talking
and,
about.
And
couldn't have a hatchback without subwoofers, by the way.
My trunk space might have been short, and my license plate might have rattled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was Paulding County, baby.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
I don't know. Whiskey Tango?
There was no carpet on that box.
Yeah.
It was just a plywood box.
Straight up plywood.
I had two
That's
tens.
That's unfortunate, man.
I had two tens.
I had a couple 12s bumping in the back of the Danger Ranger. You know what I mean? Had the extended cab.
Oh, you had 12s, huh?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Dude, you didn't need more than 10s.
The dual 12. Of course I didn't need more than 10s. I didn't need the 10s, you know, if you want to go that far with it. I had the dual woofers with the neon lights that, you could flip on and off in the back. Dude, I was living the dream.
Dude,
no big deal.
You know what? I've made it, and I was first off, I was nowhere near making it. But my first I've made it moment is I got a couple years out of high school. I think I was 21. I got a truck. I got a little Z71, the extended cab, but it was the third door. You know where it wasn't even the third door. It was like, and the dumb part about it was, it was the passenger side that would open, the third,
suicide doors.
Yeah.
I had the same thing.
Buddy of mine at the time was like, hey, man. He's like, dude, you need to put a speaker in there. He's like, my stepbrother, he put I'll hook you up with him. So he goes, he'll come to work. And I was working at Cobb County Parks and Rec. So this dude shows up. And I'm like on we called it the zero turn. The company that makes it was Skag.
Yeah.
They still
I know exactly
it.
What you're talking about.
And so I'm out there like mowing a field. This guy shows up. I go out there. I'm like, hey, man, I'm off at 4. You know, it's Friday. He's like, dude, I'll have this done in like no time. And he put the 110 with the carpeted box, put it underneath the seat, that back row seat. And I was like, man, I went to my buddy, dude, look how clean this looks.
Mama made it.
Look how clean this looks.
No, I'm with you, man. I had the suicide doors with the fold down sideways seat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That comes down off the suicide door.
Yeah.
And I used to take two of my buddies to school in the morning. They used to have to Rochambeau over who was going to sit in the suicide seat, the sideways seat, man. I don't know nothing about that these days, man. Everything's king cab.
My grandfather, my dad's dad had the Ranger, the extended cab with those seats.
Yeah.
And me and my sister be like, we're like 14. She was like 14 and I'm 10 and we're like just stuck back there.
Yeah, dude. You were living the dream back then, man.
imagine getting T-boned.
No, you're done.
Holy
you're
smokes.
Absolutely, dude. Both hips are completely destroyed.
But we didn't think about that. Like my parents were never like, nope, you don't ever ride with him in this truck.
Yeah. No, man, I'm all about it. I love talking about the old Danger Ranger. I told you before, my first car was a Geo Tracker.
Which I don't know how you fit in.
Well, no, I mean, but I had more space in the Geo than I did the Ranger, but nonetheless, man. I had the vinyl, it was the soft top with the vinyl back window. Dude, somebody box-cuttered my back window, stole my single-din stereo that, pop out with the handle. Somebody
That's a lazy
me.
Thief to box-cutter the soft
box
top.
Box-cutter, man. Box-cutter the soft top.
Mike was the guy that would show up to, an event, and he looks like he should have been carrying the car to the event, like he was driving a micro machine.
Listen, man.
You ever seen guys like that? The big bouncer gets up. Honda Civic.
I wouldn't say we were upper middle class, just to put it lightly. Okay, we were just we were rubbing rubbing two nickels together, see if we can make a dime, man. But no, it's a lot of fun to talk about, man. Obviously, still kind of getting over the big win this past Sunday for the Atlanta Falcons against Carolina up in Charlotte. We'll continue to look at that. I started watching a little bit of the 22 this morning, man, reacting to that. It's a lot of fun to talk about. Nonetheless, man, Monday Night Football last night, we got to get into the Jets and the Bills. The Hail Mary at the end of the half, one of the crazier plays. Aaron Rodgers now had like four Hail Marys like that on the career. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
Last night, they show all three Green Bay Packers Hail Marys, and then he throws the one for the New York Jets. A crazy play,
to
man.
To a former Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
Alan Lazard.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that last night. I was watching most of the game kind of on mute. Obviously, you and I had the racing thing going on. We'll get into as we go on throughout the show.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know you don't. What did you think of Aaron Rodgers last night? What did you think of Josh Allen? Aaron Rodgers is so good at what he does, but it just seems like that offense right now is so dysfunctional. It almost seems like he doesn't even need an offense coordinator or doesn't want an offense coordinator. He's controlling everything, it feels like, at the line of scrimmage.
And the lack thereof, some of the stuff that they do, because they – that's one of been the knocks of the offense is that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to use any motion. He's running an offense. The offense that he wants to run has kind of, I don't want to say time has passed it, but they haven't been able to, they haven't kept up with certain things that teams are doing these days to kind of get tells from the defense and kind of fool the defense. Breece Hall had his best night of the season, I believe, 113 yards on 18 carries. I think that would probably top anything he's done to this point this season.
Yeah.
And I think that's extremely important. I mean, it's far and away his best. And it's, to me, it's something that I don't know why he hasn't been incorporated more in the offense. He's a phenomenal player. So if Aaron Rodgers had any say in the fact that he went from 62, 54, 4, 23, and then boom, goes to 113. That's his game output so far this season for Breece Hall. That's a huge part for me of that offense working. But they lose again.
Yeah, and that's the biggest head scratch for me is how as an offensive unit, can you have the yardage they had, the ground game they had, and everything else they had going on last night, and yet you're – second touchdown comes on a Hail Mary at the end of the half. Like you score a touchdown, two field goals. You obviously had to miss field goal. It just seems like for whatever reason, man, and it's honestly, it feels a lot like the Falcons play, to be honest with you. Between the 20s, so explosive, so good, and then it's like tight red, and you're like, man, I can't get it done down here. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. 33% on third down. 4 of 12 on third down.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That is brutal. Your red area efficiency, 1 for 4. So 25% last night. So they scored one touchdown when getting into the red area. So right there, you can move the ball all you want. But if you don't make your field goals, which I know they missed, they had a miss, or you're not efficient on third downs or in the red area, you're going to lose games.
Yeah.
It's why we started off 1-2.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I mean. And listen, I did something that's so against my character. 2 weeks ago, I sat in here and said, man, in the red zone or short yardage, we need to put in a wildcat package. I mean, dude, 2 years ago, me is punching me dead in the face when I said that. I was like, it's just so out of character for me to use any kind of gimmick. But the more you look at the NFL, if you're not mobile at the quarterback position inside the 10-yard line because of spacing, you're going to struggle. You are going to struggle. Josh Allen, a prime example of that. Did you see the fake toss right last night, and then Josh Allen just simply quarterback sweep around the left?
Yeah, to seal the game.
I mean, dude, it was unbelievable. And that's what that kind of dynamic brings you, and it's something that teams like New York and Atlanta don't have, for better or worse. Now, like I said, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, their numbers are off the chain through the air, but in that tight red, that's where teams like that struggle.
I don't even care about that. Go to this quarterback sneak where he scores a touchdown. And
oh, my goodness.
But here's the problem.
Don't even get me started.
Here's the problem. Kirk Cousins could have done that sneak. All Josh Allen does, all he does is take the hike, stand for a half a tick, and then he just he squeezes right in behind that left guard.
Rides the wave off left tackle.
But here's the problem. The left tackle and the left guard and the center do their job on that side of the line. The left guard has no one in front of him. And he just rides his butt in there. Like literally rides on the back of him into the end zone. I think Kirk Cousins could do that. Hell, you know what? That's the kind of play where you know it's almost a tush push esque. You know it's coming, ride it in there.
Do you think we'll get a quarterback sneak before the end of the season?
Yeah,
We have to, right? Like, you don't go a whole season without a quarterback sneak.
Here's the thing.
Not one.
I said this yesterday when I did my hit with the show in Cleveland, Tennessee. Zach Robinson looks different when you just talk to him around the team, right? I've seen him. You don't get to be around much, but on the road, I see a different kind of feel. He's calling games. The Darnell Mooney little throw where Darnell falls down and he's starting to feel himself.
All right.
It's coming.
All right.
It's coming. He's all getting right. comfortable.
Well, you know what's not coming so far is the Atlanta Falcons pass rush and their run defense. We're going to get into it more on the other side of the break. What concerns you more? Is it the pass rush? Is it the run defense? Same group of players, two different things. We'll break it all down on the other side. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike and Bo, a couple dogs off the leash this morning, hanging out, talking a little bit of football. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Now, before we get to the Falcons D-line pass rush run defense conversation, how about that weather yesterday, man? Did you get a chance to jump out and play any holes of golf? I went and sat on the patio, had a couple margaritas with the wife and kids yesterday. Beautiful, man. The kids just love it.
Good for you.
Yeah, man. Just living the American dream.
Oh, good for you. No, yeah. I didn't. I went home and took a two-hour nap, woke up. Did not mean to take a two-hour nap. I meant to take, like, an hour and then take Sprinkles for a walk. 2 hours, had to go jump in the truck.
Yeah.
And the
Is that why you gave a shout-out to all the Uber drivers earlier today? You're like, shout-out, man. That's a tough life to live.
No, just, you know.
Shout-out to our boy Skip.
Just being nice.
Driving that Lyft.
No, nah, Skip's not a member of the nation, so he doesn't get shout-outs from me.
Speaking of the shout-outs, people really do, like, feel some type of way when I don't do them.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
they do.
I'm not going to be a jerk, but I feel a kind of way when you do because it takes up about 5 minutes of a segment.
But Dylan,
not five,
Dylan
it takes
don't
two.
You take that.
It takes two.
Hey,
it takes
first
two.
Of all, tell this man the
seconds.
Next time you have to hear about his W-Saw Chevrolet pulling up every time we start Life of Squid that you're going to have some words for him.
Well, the W-Saw.
Tell that man.
W-Saw is a sponsor. And,
all right. That's part of
900 people Dylan shots out. I don't think maybe, but one of them maybe pays.
What I will tell Bo is it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good.
He's just bringing good vibes in the morning, man. That's part of his persona.
Dylan has an hour every morning, and he uses 35 minutes of it to shout out people.
Minutes.
The other 25 is commercials, and then he has like 2 minutes where he's like,
I don't think his ratios are that far off from yours. I got 5 minutes for Life of Squid. I'm gonna spend four of it talking about big truck, little truck.
Hey,
let me use this moment to remind you that you can sign up for the Brown Grass Charity Classic right now. If you go to the 92.9 The Game website, go to the events page, you can click on it. Spots are filling up, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, you guys the only way you can get in is might be a sponsorship at this point.
Well, and that's why I honestly brought it up a minute ago when I said, did you get to play golf yesterday? The weather's been so good. Hopefully the weather stays like that, building all the way up to the golf tournament here. And what about a month, right? A little bit over a month. So that'd be a lot of fun to get out there and hang out with everybody. I'll be at Dudley's this weekend, get a chance to catch up with everybody at the Dos Equis tailgate party. Unfortunately, I will have to watch the Tennessee-Bama game as everybody around me is probably building up for Georgia and Texas, but nonetheless, it's going to be a good weekend of college football coming up.
Has there been a bad weekend yet? No, I'm going to answer that. There's not.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
even the down week 2 weeks ago was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Where there was like four or five teams in the top 25.
I was pouting 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was pouting.
That's because you're one of the top 10 teams that lost.
Yeah, I know. I was pouting 2 weeks ago. So I haven't. Look, I came to grips with the fact that Bama lost to Vandy. I still think that Bama probably looked worse against South Carolina, which shocks me to say, but we'll get into that throughout the show. For right now, we're going to talk a little bit about this Atlanta Falcons run defense, this defensive line, and the question I posed, Bo, heading into the break, what are you more concerned about in the long run? Is it the run defense or is it the pass rush? Now, allow me to jump in here first. We'll get to some sound in just a second. Obviously, a lot of these things are one and the same when you talk about personnel. Now, there's a little bit different. I think when you look at pass rush, you're not going to talk about Nate Lamon. You'll talk about Caden Ellis to an extent. You'll talk about trying to create, you know, magic off the back edge and bring a corner cat, maybe Jesse Bates every now and then. But for the most part, when we talk about pass rush, we're going to talk about the four defensive linemen that are rushing the passer and maybe a plus one. All right. When we talk about run defense, all right, that has to do with the entire front seven. And sometimes a guy like Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, whoever else it might be, rolling down in that. Here's what I'll say. Until the run defense gets better, it's not even worth talking about the pass rush. Until the run defense gets better, it's not even worth talking about the pass rush. Now, I was listening to Andy and Randy yesterday. They're talking about, hey, eventually this pass rush will catch up to you, and I agree. All right, but that's not even worth talking about until we can get past the run defense, because until we can get a better run defense, you ain't going to have third and longs to be able to tee off on the quarterback. And I know that Seattle's going to pass it a ton and not really going to try to run it. But to me, the run defense is much more a huge part of the next how many games they have. What, 11 games left in the regular season? The run defense is carrying all the burden on their shoulders right now moving forward until they get it correct.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Please do.
And I hear this. I want to push back. It's not that I disagree. It's not that I disagree with the sentiment. Oh, it's going to come to bite you eventually. I don't necessarily disagree with that. So who's going to be the guy that does it then? Because Jalen Hurts didn't make you pay for it. Patrick Mahomes, in reality, did, but he didn't. Because, I mean, you at the end of the day, you had a chance to win that game, and you just could not convert. Baker Mayfield didn't. Derek Carr didn't. Who's the quarterback that, Andy Dalton didn't? So if Patrick Mahomes can't light you up for 400...
What do you mean Patrick Mahomes didn't make you pay for it? We lost.
You lost, but you didn't lose because Patrick Mahomes shoved it down your throat and you lost like 40-20.
Patrick Mahomes looked like he was on vacation in the backfield, dude. What do you, like, we lost that game. You can say he didn't make you pay for it. Okay, fine.
But what
is making pay? At no point did he feel like he was under a threat.
You've got the... You have the, let me see, hold on a second, the ninth best pass defense in the league. So my point is you're not losing games. The games that you've lost haven't been because you couldn't get to the quarterback and because you were getting lit up through the air. It's because you can't stop the run. It's because teams are able to possess the ball. It's because teams are constantly in second and third and short because of the fact that they're able to control the ball and you're giving up 142 yards a game on the ground.
Well, and obviously, the way I started this, I agree with you. But I have to push back on the fact that you think we haven't been bitten by it yet. And I think the issue is you and I are looking at this from two different angles. Right? You're saying, well, it hasn't bit us. You know, Patrick Mahomes just did a little bit. He kind of checked it down. The problem with me is the pass rush can be an offensive-style weapon. You create turnovers. You create negative plays. Now, while you can look at Patrick Mahomes' numbers or whoever else's numbers and say, well, they didn't really burn you, that's fine. We need it to go the other direction. We need to create the negative plays. We need to create the TFLs. We need to create the turnovers. When quarterbacks are under duress, that's when they throw picks. Just ask Andy Dalton last week. Well, so I agree with you. I 100%. The run defense is A1, the priority for me
right now. I think that starts with the run defense. I think getting sacks starts with the run defense because if I can run the ball on 1st and 10 and get 5 yards, well, that's 2nd and 5. Now my entire playbook is open.
And you I agree.
And you
it's
don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I might run for another 4 yards and then – throw, vice versa, I might throw, you know what, 2nd and 5. I think I can run at chunks on this team. But for me, if I can limit you to a couple yards on 1st down the run game,
yeah.
Now 2nd and 8, I think your playbook is less open. I think you maybe have to, because if you run again and you only get a couple yards, 3rd and 6, I can bend my ears back and come at you a little bit. Yeah. I can hug up on coverage a little bit and try to make you pat the ball and because you've got to get 6 or 7 or 8 yards.
Yeah.
I just think it changes things. But as long as you lose 1st down And a lot of that has been in the run game. The offense is at an advantage, and you're not.
And here's what else I'll say, and you mentioned it. You're getting 5 yards on first down, whether you're running or throw it, whatever it is. You're getting 5 yards on first down. At second and five, let me just give you all – second and five, guess what part of the playbook is open on second and five? The whole freaking thing. The whole thing is open on second and five. All right, you can run play action. You can run draws. You can run screens. You can five-step drop. You can run another run play. The whole freaking thing is open. All right, so we talk about situational football and can we get them in third and long so we can rush the passer? That's exactly what we're talking about. We need to get them in second long for that part. And it is, look, I get it, man. The Falcons are very smart the way they go about their defense game planning, and I don't know that they get enough credit for that. It's not like we're an extremely well-rounded defense at this point. We are very good in the secondary. Shout out to Jimmy Lake. Shout out to Raheem. Shout out to everybody else back there. And we're not that great up front. But schematically, I think the way we're playing up front lends itself to what we are trying to do in an overall scheme. Basically, what we're saying is, yeah, check it down. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah, rip off some of the big gainers on the ground. But guess what? When things tighten up, we're going to be able to blitz you. We're going to be able to play situational football, and we'll come for you.
And Art said it best in the broadcast. You can call the blitzes you want, but if at some point if they don't get home, the guys have to get home. Okay, Caden Ellis has to get home when they call.
Lorenzo Carter misses the one in
exactly.
the back.
Exactly.
Tough.
I just think at some point you have to get home. If I'm blitzing Caden Ellis, I'm gonna need him to run over the running back and create some chaos.
Yeah, don't get Bijan'd by the running back. All right, and that's what I'm gonna start calling it because he's been that good. Look, we got to move on. I might put a poll out on the Twitter. What more concerns you, the run defense or the pass rush moving forward for the Atlanta Falcons? That'll be a fun conversation. We'll continue that throughout the show. On the other side of the break, another legendary weekend of college football upcoming, like Bo mentioned. We'll talk about Texas and Georgia. We'll talk about Tennessee and Alabama. We'll talk about all those good games coming up. Stick with us here on The Morning Shift. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Mike Johnson here, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, hanging out on a beautiful Tuesday morning. The weather's been beautiful for over a week. Shout out to our buddy Brandon Mincy hitting us up on Twitter. Just put the poll out. What concerns you more? All right, what concerns you more? Is it the Falcons' run defense or the Falcons' pass rush? We'll continue to get into that throughout the show. But for now, we're going to talk a little bit about college football here before the end of the hour. I want to bring you guys in on a conversation. There's been passionate debate.
Yeah.
Passionate debate
some
in the hallowed grounds of the Kia Studios here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This started, and I think it was Bill Connolly who put this on Twitter yesterday. I don't want to give credit to the wrong person. I'll have to look that up in a minute.
But I'm saying something. You ain't going to win this argument.
Well, here's how the conversation flows. First of all, you have Army and Navy who are in the same conference right now. The Big 12, it's an okay conference. It's not awful, but really at the top of this conference in the Big 12, Iowa State and BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Army and Navy, it's possible that Army and Navy could play each other on championship weekend now that they're in the same conferences, they're not independent. It's possible that Army and Navy could play each other twice at the end of the year. BYU and Iowa State could possibly play each other in the Big 12 championship game the same weekend that Army and Navy play. All right, here's the caveat, and here's the conversation we got into, and I don't think a lot of people are realizing this. All right, the top four conference champions get the bye week. All right, and the conversation popped up yesterday. Is it possible that the winner of an Army-Navy conference championship game, I'm not talking about the Army-Navy game, I'm talking about the conference championship game, is it possible that the winner of that game is actually ranked higher than whoever wins the Iowa State-BYU game to win the Big 12? Now, I will concede one thing before you break out into your argument. If Iowa State or BYU stay undefeated and win the Big 12, it's a lock that they will finish ahead of Army and Navy. All right? But Army and Navy, when you look at their schedules, they are each other's toughest competition, and the College Football Playoff Committee will select those top four before the Army and Navy game. So it's not like whoever plays the second time around gets a chance to kind of beat back on Army and Navy. All right, Army and Navy are both very good football teams. The conversation yesterday, Bo, and we'll get to Tennessee, Bama, we'll get to Texas, Georgia in just a second. The conversation yesterday was, is there a chance that Army or Navy become a first-round bye? Is there a chance that they are actually ranked ahead of the Big 12 champion when it's all said and done? Because the Big 12, unfortunately, outside of BYU and Iowa State, an extremely weak conference this year.
No, because when I read off a schedule of Lehigh, FAU, Rice, Temple, Tulsa, UAB, terrible, East Carolina.
UAB is awful.
Air Force at North Texas. Notre Dame, there's the one.
Okay.
There's the only game.
I think they both play Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken.
They do. Okay. UTSA and then Navy. That's Army's schedule.
Yep.
You go to Navy's, and it's Bucknell, Temple, Memphis. Okay. Memphis, not terrible.
Yeah.
At UAB, terrible.
Awful.
Force, Charlotte. Oh, man. Big game against powerhouse Charlotte.
You were on the grounds this
weekend. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, okay, well, nothing. Notre Dame, at Rice, at USF, Tulane, at East Carolina, and then an Army. No, because I'm going to tell you something. I'll show you Iowa State's schedule right now. And it's all right. Iowa State, North Dakota, better opponent than almost anything on their on the schedule there. Iowa, Arkansas State, Houston, Baylor, West Virginia, UCF, Texas Tech, Kansas, Cincinnati, Utah, and Kansas State to finish. Iowa State is already better than right there, and BYU has got a couple of good wins themselves. I'd have to find theirs, but I'm telling you, they're as bad as it is. There's no way Army and Navy would have to each blow out Notre Dame and then blow out the other one in that conference championship game to get that.
Yeah.
And then they still have to finish that they would still have to beat the other team again.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, though. The College Football Playoff Committee selects the teams before the second time they play. So that game is actually the Army-Navy game is a week before the first round of the playoff.
I don't think there's any way. Anyway.
What about if, let's just say, both Iowa State and BYU have a loss? One of them's going to – then they'd play each other in the championship game with one loss. All right, then we're talking about maybe a different scenario. I just think it's more likely than you think it is. And I think it's more likely than anybody ever expected it might be.
Also,
Big 12 is a weak league, dude.
The Notre Dame win will be lessened by Georgia Tech beating them this weekend.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
No, there's no hope. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Let's hope those boys from the flats can go out and take care of business in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I get a lot of confidence in them. And I'm going to tell you something. I think Georgia Tech is going to feel themselves walking in. Brent Key, already, what, at 5-2?
Got a little swagger to him, man. Got a little swagger to him, old Brent.
I told Art, while we were watching the West Virginia-Iowa State game on the road in Charlotte, and I said, hey, congratulations on being bowl eligible.
I want to update everybody on the poll I put out yesterday. There was a lot of fun back and forth. I pretty much put it out, Alabama or Georgia, which fan base is more concerned about their matchup this weekend? Are Georgia fans more concerned about number one Texas? Went back and watched the Texas game. I don't think the scoreboard was very indicative of the way Quinn Ewers played. Quinn Ewers, no downfield throws, struggled, missed a couple throws the first half. He rounded it for him. He's just knocking the rust off. Still same old Quinn Ewers. Or is it Bama facing off against Nico Iamaliava and a Tennessee team that's not exactly feeling themselves right now either? But when you look at Bama, when you look at Georgia, both concerns defensively over what's going on both these teams right now. That poll finished 51% Georgia fans, 49% Bama fans as far as the concern this weekend.
For Alabama, is it the team that played in the first half against Georgia?
And then for seen them.
And for Georgia fans, is it the team that played in the second half against Clemson? Not Alabama, but Clemson. And let me say something.
Point.
Stop telling me the ACC is down. They're not. The ACC is exactly – in fact, this might be the strongest the ACC has been in years. You know why? Because Miami looks really good.
Miami should have lost last week.
Clemson should have, could have, would have, brother.
Okay.
Alabama should have lost to Georgia. In the second half, they played like garbage. No, yeah,
I'm
you
not
can make
sure.
That argument.
Miami got helped by a referee. I don't think Bama got helped by a referee. Make the argument they just played crap. Sure, yeah, if you're making that argument, then sure.
You can go make an argument there was a call or two that shouldn't have went Alabama's way probably in the game against Georgia. The reality is, don't bring shouldas, bring what happened. So that's what everybody tells me about the penalty with the Falcons, and me and State got in an argument the other day about you could have lost this, that. The reality of the situation is, the team that Georgia was in the second half against Clemson was phenomenal. Clemson's a pretty pretty good football team. And I'm going to tell you something.
You almost let it ride right there. Dylan, got the dump button.
Might as well, I mean,
get your hand over the dump button.
You know how I caught myself? Clemson's pretty good. The ACC.
Tiffany leaves for one day. This guy's dropping F-bombs.
I didn't drop anything. I started to say they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, F football.
That's the thing for me. I'm more worried about Georgia right now than I am Alabama, and only because I just haven't seen any consistency from Georgia.
I agree with you. I'm more worried about Georgia's expectations as opposed to under a first-year coach in Alabama. We'll talk about that more when we get to Mic'd Up later in the show. Hour number two is coming at you. It's Mike and Bo here in the Kia Studios. We're going to continue to talk about this Atlanta Falcons defense, the run defense or the pass rush. Which one is more concerning moving forward? I got the poll out on Twitter. Make sure you hit us up. Weigh in with your thoughts. We'll talk about it coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 7:03. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. A couple dogs off the leash this morning here in the Kia Studios. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. The football conversation rolls on. Before we get there, though, Bo, I got to tell you, man, my wife texted me a minute ago. Just woke up, getting the kids up. Walks in the kitchen, turns on the light. Big old bug right there on the wall. And
I
think my marriage may be in danger.
Just walk over there with a loose shoe and smack it on the wall.
Oh, man. You know, that would be the easy thing to do.
It's easy pleasing.
That's not really what I would say up my wife's alley. Not really in her comfort zone. So that's not going to be and here's the thing. You can't look at me and tell me that your wife would do that. There's no way. Dude, I've met Amy a few times now. There's no way that she's on bug duty. Tell me she doesn't yell for you to come in from the other room.
She would probably call me and be like, there's a bug on the wall. Okay, we'll kill it. What do you want me to do? I'm in Charlotte. Well, I mean, I just don't think it's disgusting. You know what's more disgusting? The bug crawling around our house while you're talking to me. Just kill the dang thing. Come on, woman.
Yeah, so you got a slipper anywhere.
I'm so glad we're all on the same page here. Daddy and I follow you as well because it's the same thing with Simone. It's like, oh, my God, there's a bug.
Yeah.
And she'll literally leave it until I get back. And she's like, it's over there. I'm like, you can't just kill it?
I'm like, we live in like a 50-plus-year-old neighborhood, a 50-plus-year-old house. I'm like, dude, there's bound to be a bug every now and then during season changes. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Dude.
It just is what it is.
If there are trees near your house.
200-foot trees in every direction.
I call them the water bugs because they're like water bugs. They all come from pine trees and stuff. Let me ask you a question. And now, this person is not here to defend themselves, so we can say whatever we want, and they probably won't ever know. What do you think Tiffany does when she sees a bug?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Probably screams. Yeah. She probably snaps it with a towel the way you would messing with a friend in the shop. Ba-ba! Sa-ba! She's probably like, nah, get off the wall. See, I don't know, man. We'll never know, though.
I think she experiences fear at first because it surprises her, right?
Yeah.
And then I think she probably just stomps the ever-living crap out of it. She's probably one of those
she
people.
She probably uses some expletives on the way
down.
She's
probably one of those people that stomps it so many times by the time that she's done. She is just like basically embedded the dead bug into her floor.
It's in the tile grout.
So yeah, it's a part of the apartment now.
That's spot on.
Oh my goodness. All right, let's get to some of this Falcons conversation, man. We've been talking about it throughout the show already. Obviously a big win for the Falcons over the weekend, man. You go to Charlotte, you take care of business. Nobody is trying to downgrade what that means. All right, but I think
I heard a few people, but
in this conversation. Here's the way I feel about this. There are certain hurdles that good football teams go through throughout the year. There's your first big test, right? There's your first road test. There's just certain prove it style games where, hey, if we want to take the next step, we need to win this one. All right. And then mentally, I think fans kind of move on to the next step from there. So I think there was a lot of questions of, hey, we've had some last minute wins. There was some really, some craziness at the end of the Bucs game. Are we that good? Are we not that good? The next step is, can you go take care of your business? All right? And after you take care of business, then you look in the mirror and you say, well, we should have beat them. We should have beat them all along. So I think that this whole conversation we're having as part of the defense, the pass rush, the run game, it's part of the future. It's part of forecasting what this team can be down the road.
Can we talk about that before we talk about the pass defense versus run defense?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. It's your show.
Well, it's yours too.
Yeah, I'm just
yours,
sitting here.
It's yours too.
Go ahead.
We're sharing. I figured I want to say something. How many times in the past few years, good team, bad team, doesn't matter, would that game came down to the very end?
No doubt.
And I think one of the things that we've talked about, or we haven't maybe talked about enough this season, is how many close games we've played in the last 3 years before this regime took over that we lost.
Yeah.
We won some, but we lost a lot. And last year against Carolina is the exact type of thing that I'm talking about, where we lost that game against a bad team. And we don't know why, but we did. We lost that game in Carolina against a bad team. You can say, but we didn't. And it was multiple reasons. A, our defense did a good job of playing with a lead.
Yes.
B, our offense did a good job of playing with a lead, where the 4 minute they ran that 4 minute offense.
Yes. Yes. I was actually gonna say they played like they didn't have the lead, like they needed to go get it aggressively. They were aggressively running the ball, but you're right. They were able to keep it on the ground.
Yeah, and that when it was 28-20 and you get the ball back on the AJ Terrell interception, you drive the field, and you score and you make it 35-20. You played with a lead.
Yeah.
That is. So important, and I think we just skate over it because we say, well, maybe we should have beat them 40-something to 10, or we didn't lead the entire game, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. A wire to wire win in the NFL. So all those things, I just think that those are the positives. Don't make it a negative. In fact, it could have been 45-20. Clark Phillips just did a unselfish thing.
That's a good
point. Instead of going back out there and risking injury to the rest of the defense, he said, I'm going to take a knee, take the pick to the 3-yard line, and we're going to go home about 2 minutes early.
Well, and to piggyback off that, there are times in the past few years that I would have sacrificed my firstborn to have back-to-back 30-point games. You know what I mean? Like, let's just call it what. And I love you, Ridge. If you're sitting in the car right now, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Daddy loves you, but there's just times in the last couple of years where you would have looked at it and said, back-to-back 30-point games. I would have slapped somebody's mama, not my own, but slapped somebody's mama in order to get back-to-back 30-point games. You, if you're trying to find the negative, you'll find it, man. But you shouldn't look that hard. It's to your point.
You let a lesser team hang around until you didn't, and. Until you decided, like we talked about on Friday, that you were going to put your foot on their throat and stomp down real, real hard.
So the tunnel vision has changed. The expectations have changed. You crossed that hurdle that you weren't able to get over a year ago and beat the teams you're supposed to. All right, that's exactly what you did Sunday. So now we begin to kind of dissect what this team is in the future. I want to hear from Grady Jarrett here about his thoughts on the pass rush and the fact that this D-line, they can't stop working.
Man, we got to press. We got to work. We got to continue to work it. We got to work our rush moves, you know, and at the end of the day, it's going to be nice when they come, but we can't get discouraged. We got to keep pressing, you know, and that sounds repetitive. I've been saying that for the past couple weeks, but at the end of the day, you know, when the dam break and the floods start coming in, we're going to run up those sacks. We're going to be glad that we never got discouraged. We're going to be glad that we didn't stop, and we're going to be glad that we got put in the more work, stay hungry, and believe to achieve things that we know we can do.
Grady Jarrett gives me the warm fuzzies on days like this, man. It's a little bit cold outside. Gives me the warm fuzzies. Does he not always make you feel good about the near future of this defensive line?
Well, he's a smart human being. He knows he doesn't overspeak. He's guarded, but he's not like he'll tell you the truth, but without giving you too much of the truth that scares you or makes you panic or say, "Well, why'd you say that?" He's not wrong. What he said is. It's like I felt Matthew Judon did a good job of creating pressure. I thought he got held a few times that didn't get called. I thought Lorenzo Carter should have had a sack. I thought Cade Nellis could have had one. That said, go back to the offense 3 weeks ago. And 3 weeks ago, all we were talking about is can we score 30 points? Now we're complaining that we only scored 38.
Yeah, right.
And
my, how the turntables. As they would say in the office.
And I was asked a question yesterday when I did that hit, and they were like, hey, what they used the term about like the offense is kind of unlocked now. And I said, well, felt like there was a unification moment for this offense where the run game meshed with the passing game and the quarterback meshed with his targets, and the pass protection meshed with the quarterback, and everything just it was like, and then the play calling and everything just unified as one. The defense has not gotten there yet. As well as they've played, they haven't been. But when it happens, it's going to feel like a cheat code, because the one thing you can't say about that Sunday's game was that we struggled offensively to move the ball. Because we had the first three and out, and I think there was one more at some point, but the reality of the situation was we moved the ball at will against Carolina and however we wanted.
Real quick, we got about a minute here. I want to throw this at you, though, because we just talked about and tweeted it out on the at 929 Morning Shift out on the X. What's more concerning for you moving forward for this team? Is it the pass rush or the run defense? Knowing the little bit we do, and we, we talk about turning the corner on Tuesday, 24-hour rule. You and I will continue to kind of watch film from this past weekend as we move towards Seattle this weekend. What's more concerning about you this weekend? Not long term, but just real quick, what's more concerning this weekend? Is it the run defense or the pass rush? Because I think I know where you're going.
It's the run defense still.
Wow.
It's still really? The run defense. Because,
even as little as this team runs the ball.
Because, well, they ran it like 20 times last week, and which is an anomaly for them because they are a pass-happy team. I think they ran it 7 the week before. But the reality is their rush defense is like 26th in the league. Their rush defense is worse than ours. And I'm telling you that to say, you run the ball on them, right? And you possess time. You wear their defense out. Don't give them a chance to get their run game established where they can do that to you. Because you can bet your ass they're saying the same thing about you, right?
Yep.
So don't let them do that, because Geno is going to turn the ball over. He's got 6 touchdown passes this year. He's got 6 interceptions as well. Stop the run. Force Geno to beat you on third and long, because he's going to give you the ball.
From Thursday night football to Monday night football, it was a crazy weekend in the NFL. When we come back here on the Morning Shift, we will take you in the huddle and all those stories. Man, stick with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. 7:25 a.m. It's the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. Mike and Squid rolling on with you this morning. Going to get to In the Huddle in just a second. Got to talk about Monday night football, all the craziness going on. Appreciate the hat tips I'm getting on Twitter right now. A couple of people sounding off for me and, kind of likening the situation with the bug on the wall in my house this morning, my wife, to their own situations at home, kind of vibing with me on that. I think all 4 of us sitting here, it is the meathead edition of the Morning Shift, all 4 of us in here are like, dude, my wife's the same way, man. Just get a flip-flop or a slipper for the love. My wife's like, that ain't my go-zone, man. So, nonetheless, fun edition this morning, man. Coming up and mic'd up at the 40, we're going to get to a little bit of the Dan Lanning 12 men on the field conversation. Also, crazy headline coming off of Longhorn's Wire about Kirby Smart possibly being suspended. Don't want to miss that as well. But, man, fun show so far. And, it's there's a lot of craziness going on in the sports world right now.
How about the drive? I'm just watching the All-22 on the iPad as we do the show. And how about the drive that they score? I think it was the second touchdown. I know it was the second touchdown. First off, the run that Bijan finishes.
Yeah.
I mean, he knocks like 2 dudes on the ground enters the end zone. In fact, he had to knock them over to get into the end zone. But the play that breaks this drive open is Kyle Pitts just kind of running by at Xavier Woods, finding the soft spot in the zone and throwing his hand up and saying, dude, they release me.
Yeah.
And he does it. He does it. And it's a good job of Kyle.
They released me. I'm open.
It's a good job of Kyle recognizing how they were playing on the back end, right? Because Woods is one of their safeties. But the other safety is so deep in the back of the defense. And I believe the other guy is Nick Scott. He's in the middle, deep, and Xavier Woods is kind of playing in the box, and he releases him, and Kyle's like, hey, release me.
Over here.
And boom, he catches Kirk. It. And it's,
Kirk, over so, here.
It's perfect because Kirk hits him, and he turns it upfield, and then you finish it, and I think two plays later, you finish it with the Bijan touchdown. But then the short yardage, we didn't get to talk about this enough. I absolutely love their call where they have the penalty, and you take it from the 2 to the 1.
Yeah.
And you go, you know what? There's no reason why I should go for two here.
Yeah.
Other than I don't think you can stop me. And I want to practice short yardage.
Well, you can't stop us from talking about the NFL headlines. Let's go in the huddle. Monday Night Football was good last night. It's up on the screen right now. Both teams go into the fourth quarter tied up at 20.
Was it good
Josh
or was
Allen?
Was
it just... that he is.
Thanks, yeah. Dan Campbell.
we'll get to that.
Was it good, or was
hold
it just,
your horses, Dan? We're coming.
Or was it just a bad game that was the only game on?
I thought it was good.
Okay,
I thought it was good.
I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, it just define. What do you define a bad game?
Well, I mean,
there was definitely offensive fireworks.
One team was 1-4 in the red zone, missed two field goals. The other team,
yeah, but they had some explosives.
Failed to
Aaron
put
Rodgers
away.
Had over 300 yards passing. Breece Hall goes over 100 on the ground, 50 yards receiving. Dude, he was explosive last night. I do think it bears mentioning, though. Did you hear the Belichick cut from the Manning cast, where Belichick is talking about the firing of Robert Saleh? And he said that Woody Johnson basically, he's to blame for all this. Did you happen to hear that?
No, what did it sound like? I think. Roll that back.
That's kind of what it's been there at the Jets. You know, it barely won over 30% in the last 10 years. So, you know, the owner being the owner, just ready, fire, aim.
Oh, yes!
Ready, fire, aim!
Well, you know there's hatred there, right?
Ready, fire, aim!
You know there's hatred there.
Oh, my goodness. As there should be. I mean, he starts off, he goes, you know I'm not a fan of the New York Jets.
But you know why?
Yeah.
Ready, fire, aim.
Because I think I want to make sure people in their car remember that he took that job.
Yeah.
And then goes, you know what? On second thought, I think I'm gonna go hang out with Bob Kraft. He's cooler than Woody Johnson.
Well, I was gonna say that shouldn't invoke any hatred from Bills. I mean, Bill's the one that left.
Well, they sued him.
Yeah, I was gonna say that it's the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
That's the reason, yeah. Bill doesn't like.
But I mean, that's what started.
And to be honest with you, I don't know that I blame him. I don't know that I blame either side.
I don't blame Woody.
I think
Johnson
I would have been in there for 4 days with Woody Johnson, and be like, it's probably not a good idea. Yeah. And for Woody Johnson, I'm like, dude, you can't just walk in here for 4 days.
Yeah,
and then walk out.
I know. I'm Woody
and go
Johnson.
To our competition.
Yeah,
no, thank you.
He's kind of said, "Hey, you said I do. You got to say. You got to like at least like you can't have this thing annulled yet. I don't.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: Bill Belichick had worked there, so he knew Woody Johnson. All right, it wasn't like he just showed up and signed a deal, and then he goes, "Oh, 4 days later, I'm out."
Yeah.
He had been. They'd been living together for years, and then he decided that once they got married, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, one of the injuries heard around the NFL this past week, and unfortunately, the Detroit Lions. Although they rolled and embarrassed the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, Aiden Hutchinson goes out for the year, or maybe not, according to Dan Campbell.
It hurts to lose somebody like him, not only the player, but the person that's in that locker room, the leader that he is. You know, but that being said, we move forward. And let me say this before I get to what I was just saying. Look, it's 4 to 6 months. I would never count Hutch out, ever. So, yeah, probably, you know, long road, but I would never count him out. And I would say if anybody can make it back, it'd be him.
Yeah, listen, man, I have broken my leg in football in the NFL before. All right, so I feel comfortable saying this. He kicked himself in his own knee. I don't know that we need him coming back this year. And I know that maybe he'll want to, but can we protect him from himself and just say that's maybe not a good idea?
I'm not trying to laugh. It's not funny. But when you
like
said,
I said that because I've been there. I've done this before.
No, I was sitting here thinking, wait, that's how he did it? I thought he hit another guy's leg. And then I realized that the aftermath was it.
So. No, man. I'm laughing because of your comments. I want to make sure people are clear. We're not laughing at Aiden Hutchinson at all.
No,
I am very concerned. Dan Campbell is trying to be complimentary of Aiden Hutchinson, and I'm like, dude, no.
But
no, we're not
going
to go down that road.
But see, here's the thing. And I understand, because that was my first thought. But what Dan Campbell is really saying is, he's just trying to build up the person and the player. That's who he is.
Yeah.
That's who Dan Campbell is. He is the ultimate. You ever talked to anybody that's been around him? They just talk about the amazing human being he is and how he treats others and how, you know, he's the constant leader that builds and wants to thrust the person up on a pedestal. He's just talking about Aiden Hutchinson in that way, and I don't think he is pushing Aiden Hutchinson to come back before he's ready. I don't think he would do that.
another note before we got to go to break here. The Dolphins, McDaniel expects Tua to play again in 2024. I don't think that's like the worst kept secret in the NFL.
Yeah, all he's got to do is be activated. He'll play. As soon as he's activated I would think he'd go four games, right?
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Watching the Dolphins the rest of the season, I'm going to be cringing every time he drops back. I'm going to be terrified. And Tua is, I don't mean that. Y'all know me. Tua is my favorite college football player of all time. My favorite college football player of all time, Tua Tagovailoa. Loved watching the kid at Bama. But, man, that's going to be – I'm going to be in the edge of my seat every time I watch Miami. Grew up a Dolphins fan. It's going to be stressful, man. So, anyways, look, when we come back, I want to talk about this Dan Lanning situation, the 12-man penalty. I'm going to give him his kudos. And I'm going to give kudos to Bo, too. He's one of the early believers in this entire train of thought. Also, in Mic'd Up. One of the headlines from Longhorns Wire on USA Today is asking if Kirby should be suspended. I got thoughts. You'll want to stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. 8:03 a.m. It's the Morning Shift, Mike and Squid. The wake-up call coming up, 404-726-0929. A lot of good conversation this morning, man. And good conversation coming up as well. Dennis Dodd joins us in about 18 minutes. Don't want to miss that. He put out a couple of good articles about possible 9-game scheduling and some agreements going on between the Big Ten and the SEC. So that'd be fun to talk to him about college football and all the craziness going on. Also been talking about the Falcons, man, that defensive line, the run defense, the pass rush, and everything in between. What's more concerning in the long run? What's more concerning this weekend, man? But for right now, let's go ahead and head out to the phone lines. We'll go to Squidbillion, our buddy, man. Hey, long time no talk, Squidbillion, man. Hope you've been good.
I know. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Ellis Squid.
Sir?
Mike, I know you've been getting comfortable, but I have not gone anywhere. I've been here listening from the shadows, and my mailbox is doing fine, okay?
hey, not for long now, Squidbillion. Not for long. I'm sending a hitman up there with a baseball bat.
I would expect nothing less. I think it has been long enough to where, Elder Squid, I need to say congratulations.
Yes.
The nation has an heir, and that's exciting. So
thank
congratulations
you
on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, man.
I appreciate that.
I'm more excited than Bo is at this point, I think, man, because I know what he's getting into, and he doesn't know what he's getting into. I'm not talking about it in a sad way either, Squidbillion. I'm talking about I'm so excited for him. But, yeah, man, good call. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I do want to say, like, look, I'm happy for the Falcons. I think they're doing all the right things right now. They're trending in the right direction. They're doing what it takes to get into the postseason. I do want them to really focus on that red zone percentage because that is what's going to make the difference once you get into the postseason and you're hitting those more efficient, more competent offenses. You need to make that get over 50%.
Yeah.
For this weekend, I am more – I don't know if concerned is the right word. I think the pass rush is more important. For Geno to make those mistakes, you got to get him under pressure. And so that's more important this weekend. I think the run defense is more important in the long run. Great to talk to you guys again. Love the show.
Yeah, thanks buddy. That's a great call. And look, he said over 50%. I do have to point out, man, the football player inside of me has to just tell you one of the reasons it was at 50%, and you know this, Bo, is because we knelt the ball in the red zone at the end. That kind of brought us down to 50%. But other than that, we were over as far as 50% touchdown rate.
You're right. He's also right, though, because going in, they were at 42.9%. And so, like, there's no – I also I want to touch on multiple things that he said. The Seahawks, Geno Smith, yeah, you want to get there. If you can – I would take just – I think it might be just as efficient if you can just move Geno. And I think and then as opposed to actually taking him down
think
to the
he'll
ground.
Give you one?
Because I think he'll give you one.
Yeah.
I think he might give you more than one. Through five games, he's got, or six games, he has six interceptions. So he's averaging one a game. So the odds are you're going to get one. Just make sure you make it count to his point about getting in the red zone. The other thing is that he talked about the mailbox. Amy had our mailbox painted yesterday.
Yeah.
Our mailboxes are a big deal in our neighborhood because everyone has to have the exact same mailbox.
What color are they? Black?
Black.
Yeah, okay.
With gold letters.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can definitely be a thing where if your mailbox isn't up to, you know, necessarily code, you can get probably came after. And our door had gotten to the point where I had, like, random bolts holding it in. And it kept falling. The door kept falling. Dude fixed the door too. Not only did he paint my mailbox, he fixed the door too.
Wow.
And I don't know what, and I don't think she paid a lot, which was kind of cool. I mean, it was very reasonable, but man, I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. All right, let's go back to the lines. Let's hit up our buddy Chief, and let me be the first to say, what's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? I got a couple things before I get to the bug thing right quick. Y'all know a little bug story. But you know what, though? It was a great weekend. We should have sat the quarterback more, though, because I'm sorry. Aaron Dalton, he looked like Michael Vick a couple times back there. We got to put the quarterback on the ground. The Cowboys lost. The Saints lost. It was a great weekend for me. Now, let's get to the bug thing. My wife, she's tougher than I am, guys, when it comes to bugs.
Uh-oh.
One time we walked in the house, bug levitates. This big bug levitates. Okay? I smacked the bug. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just hear, finish him. My wife went crazy. She took that thing. It was demolished. And I'm thinking, whoa.
Fatality.
All of a sudden, Chief's wife turned into like a Stone Cold and Vincent Mann's in the ring. I'm going to kick you. Boom. Stunner. That's hilarious. There are some.
I was going to say levitate. I'm pretty sure that's just called flying when you're a bug.
We were on my neighbor's back porch. And some bugs don't have wings.
They don't, but I'm just saying, if that one was levitating, I think that's what you'd call it.
It's a special
I think
you'd
just say flying.
We're sitting on the back
it's not
porch.
Not a UFO, it's just a bug.
Well, my young neighbors, you know, they get that. And he looks over, Carter looks over and goes, hey, there's a bug right behind you, Maddie. There's a bug. And she starts freaking out. And just like I told you, I was like, just take it, boom. And pull it back up.
You got insurance on that iPhone you just slammed
down? Yeah, I did. And you look up, and there's a bug splatter, and she's like, oh, thank you. I'm like, you could have done it too.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is take a shoe and whack.
How old is she?
They're in their early 20s, like 25,
No, I mean the kid.
What kid?
You said there was a kid. I thought you said it was a kid.
Their kids. Because they're like in their 20s.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, their kids. Okay. I thought you were saying like their kids were out back.
No, they are kids.
Okay.
They're 24, 26.
Yeah, those are children. anyways, man, I was going to say, man, good for them that their kids are actually scared. My kid, my son, four,
she was
dude,
scared.
Not scared in the slightest about the angriest looking bugs, dude. Go out back the other day next to the swing set, a banana spider. I swear this thing had a leg span like 5 inches wide. He's like, Daddy, can I hold it?
No.
I'm sorry, what? Like, not only can you hold it, but get away from that thing.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Are you kidding me?
Picking up
worms. I mean,
that's
just
crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, I told you.
He's so boy, dude.
The old neighbors that lived next door, they had two little boys. I would walk outside, go to the trash can or whatever, because I don't want to say we're having trash cans, but in the back of the house. I don't want to get in trouble. And I'd look out there, no shirt, no pants, and underwear.
Yep.
I mean, and they are digging in holes, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Oh, look, Mr. Bo, and they, like, hold up a freaking worm.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Yeah. That's my son, dude.
They randomly popped over the other day. He goes right to the valve box, you know, where the water shut off is.
Yep.
And he goes, and he looks at his dad, you think the salamander's still here? He's like, I don't know, buddy, why don't you check? I'm like, geez.
Oh, man, let's go ahead and get at least one more caller here. Let's go to our buddy down south, Georgia boy, over in Swainsboro. We them Georgia boys. We them. Yeah,
hey,
man, you
good
don't
morning,
know nothing
guys.
About that.
What's up,
good
man?
Morning, good morning, Mike, Big Mike, and my boy Squid. Listen, I'm looking more at the defense, man. I definitely need a nose guard. We need somebody about at least 350.
Oh, you ready to add somebody? You know, okay.
Yeah, we need to get somebody. We need a big guy, you know, down in the middle, you know, trying to stop the run.
Yeah.
We definitely need to square it up. And look, another thing is this, the cornerback, man. I like Phillips, but that height thing started to bother me a little bit. You know, like he got beat on that touchdown. If he was a little bit taller, he probably would have got the pick or at least knocked it down. Yeah. And, you know, I think we need to just try to use him in the right situation. That was a bad situation to use him at right there.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. You got your hand forced on you a little bit with the situations down the stretch. All right, you just did.
Yeah.
You got your hand forced on. The personnel you're playing with, and obviously Simmons goes out of the games. He has the hamstring tightness. Micah Abernathy, has the torn up knee at some point. So you kind of forced yourself into a situation with the amount of people you had. Kevin King obviously playing meaningful snaps in that game.
And Antonio Hamilton has been a little rough, too, and I think that's probably why you saw Clark in there at times.
Yeah, he has been rough.
Mike Hughes has not. Mike Hughes has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm not worried about the secondary or the height.
The thing I would say is Clark Phillips was plenty tall enough to make that pick to seal the game.
Yeah.
And so was AJ on his. I get the thought, though, he's right. Clark Phillips.
I think in a perfect world, yes.
Clark Phillips was as high up on the ladder as I think he'd get. The problem was it was a perfect throw, and Leggett made the catch.
Real quick, we got to get to break because we got Dennis Dodd on the other side. You don't want to miss that. Are you on the boat of possibly adding a defensive lineman at some point, though?
Yeah, but
that's the other part of DSGB's call there.
I am, but I don't want a nose tackle. I want a guy off the edge.
I'm just not sure it's a personnel issue, man. You go back and watch film, like they just I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like it to me.
I have said for a lot of it, I think half the problem is the fact that you give so much cushion and you never seem to come up and take you never hug up on the receivers. And I think you've played guys that are smart enough to be like, hey, guess what? Boom, dink and duck. I'll take everything you give me.
Yeah, I tend to agree, man, but it'll be a conversation ongoing. Hopefully that secondary can rise up this weekend. All right, we got to go to break, man. On the other side, we're going to talk to Dennis Dodd. He puts a story out last night about the Big Ten SEC, the meetings going on, what kind of agreements could they come to. We'll talk to him. College football talk coming up on the other side of the break. It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Squid hanging out with you here on this beautiful, brisk Tuesday morning here in the city of Atlanta, man. A lot of fun conversation going on about this Falcons defense. What's more concerning? Appreciate everybody's calls and tweets on the wake-up call last segment, man. And a lot of thoughts about that. A lot of thoughts about the Falcons defensive line and what this team needs to be moving forward. Big matchup with Seattle this weekend. For right now, though, we're going to go out to the phone lines. We're going to bring in national sports writer for CBS Sports. That's Mr. Dennis Dodd. Dennis, I hope you're doing well this morning. Let's jump right into it, man. You put out an article last night, Big Ten SEC in discussions over a landmark scheduling agreement. Tell me why there would be any downside to this, because as a Bama guy who watched them go up to Madison a few weeks ago, it looked electric. It sounded electric. Bama comes away with a big win. Seems like this would be a win for everybody.
There's no downside. I mean, unless I guess you're a group of five member, because this kind of signals further separation. But I think we all admit that now. Yeah, I think consciousness were elevated after Texas, Michigan, and Alabama, Wisconsin. We all know those games were on the schedule. When some of these administrators saw what you just talked about, it's like, why can't we have more of this? You know, and we're the two biggest, best conferences. Let's just come together. And if people don't know, they were in discussions to do sort of a challenge non-conference series of SEC and Big Ten non-conference games throughout the season. I think the fans would love it. It would help those two schools resumes for the playoff, give them a good chance, not a good chance, but, you know, more reason to say, hey, we want three or four automatic qualifiers. Look what we've put together here. And it increased, like I said, strength of schedule. So it's a win-win-win.
Well, the other win for me, Dennis, hopefully for the foreseeable future, is the two leagues working together to keep the private equity out of college football. How long can – do they have to bring in the Big 12 and the ACC? Can they push this? Like, how long can they withstand the private equity coming into the sport?
Well, you're exactly right, and that's a big piece of this, in that they want to create enough revenue on their own that goes to them without having to deal with Super League, because I think this addresses that, and without having to go to a third party for money. Some of these other leagues or schools may do that, but I think that was a great observation by you. I think this is a big part of that. And the private equity piece, is, again, for people that don't know, private equity is money that is loaned over a period of time, but that company, that entity, whoever it is, then owns a piece of your company, quote unquote, and you have to pay it back at some point. So with revenue share and everything coming down the pike, this makes these two leagues more sturdy.
Do you think, Dennis, and by the way, visiting with Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, do you think, Dennis, that this kind of alignment between the Big Ten and the SEC eventually leads to a little bit less chaos in terms of the rules governing the sport. And I read your piece the other day on Chip Kelly, and he gave some great insight, right? I mean, it was like, basically, I put the practice schedule out, and then I asked people for money. Yeah. I think everybody, at least in the Southeastern Conference, would be in agreement. Like, we want a few more rules around these situations. Do you think that these meetings between the Big Ten and the SEC can eventually lead to a little bit more governing around the sport right now?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, people have kind of forgotten, and I was surprised that the NCAA Council, its last meeting last week, didn't address this. But at least the four Power Four are sort of demanding from the NCAA a separate governance model. And within that four, along with the Big 12 and ACC, obviously you'd have the SEC and Big Ten sort of kind of running things. But it would just get rid of the minutiae. You know, I talked to Greg Sankey in July at the Media Days in Dallas when I was writing about this particular subject. And I said, let me sum it up for you, Greg. You don't want a Division III president voting on roster caps. And he said, exactly. That's an out there example, but not too far off the truth the way things are going for decades in the NCAA. So there are unique problems for these two leagues and these four leagues that they would like to have for themselves to govern.
You mentioned Greg Sankey, Dennis, and I think bringing him up makes me remember the statement he put out yesterday about Kirby Smart and the shove of the Mississippi State quarterback. He basically said he should have been penalized. Should the league have done more to penalize Kirby Smart after the shove?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one. I guess they could have fined him. I mean, it would have been symbolic, not anything meaningful, because we know how much Kirby makes. I guess that could have been the next step. But again, it wasn't Woody Hayes shoving the linebacker on the side of the field when he went nuts. And Kirby apologized. Kirby addressed it. I think it had maybe a 48-hour shelf life. I think it's over by now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. We talked a little bit about it earlier. To me, it was like, you know, your buddy's talking trash and Madden. Maybe it's like an elbow shove, side shove. I'm not that worried about it. Hanging out with Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, one of the conversations that continues to grow legs, I think, in at least some circles, is the conversation about the 4 seed in the college football playoff. And, you know, this has been kind of an interesting talking point. See some people on Twitter kind of pointing it out, that if chaos ensues in the Big 12, and remember, it's not the Power Four conference champions, it's just the highest-ranked four conference champions, is there a chance, if Army can find a win against Notre Dame, and there is chaos in the Big 12, do you see a scenario where the college football playoff, before the Army-Navy game, puts an undefeated Army team and a conference champion in that four slot ahead of a Big 12 champion?
I suppose. I'm trying to, you know, they would have, what, a win over one ranked team.
I believe you're right. Yep.
Do not forget that Miami, if they win the ACC, has a great chance of not playing a ranked team. So put them in that mix too.
Wow.
If Army runs the table, go look at Miami's schedule. They will not play a ranked team until the conference championship game, the way things are right now. So I think that has to be discussed too. So yeah, I mean, they could get a bye. I think it's fascinating to me where, I mean, this is a CBS dream. My company, they've got the traditional game after either Army or Navy possibly gets a CFP spot playing each other back to back weeks in the American Championship game. I'm all for it. I love the service academies anyway. I think this is amazing. These two teams here, stump your friends with this one, guys. Guess which two teams this week are number one and two in passing efficiency in the nation?
God, I hope it's Army and Navy. I was going to say, I hope it's Army and Navy.
Small sample size, admittedly, but they are doing some things in the passing game that are making those things more efficient.
What do you, Dennis, what do you think about Texas-Georgia this weekend down in Austin? It's kind of a cool matchup that we get to see these two teams playing a meaningful regular season game. Can Georgia go to Austin and upset Texas? Because I tend to believe that they're the best team in the country at Texas right now.
I think they can. I think to start that discussion, you just have – I agree with you. I think Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas are the three best teams in the country. And in any given week, one can stand out. Oregon is standing out right now for the job they did. But I think Texas is as complete a team as you'll see. I think defensively, especially after losing Byron Murphy and the Sweat Kid at defensive tackle, who were all America, all Big 12 type players right in the middle, and they're probably better in the middle defensively, and they're down linemen, is a big indicator to me. And the fact that you can keep winning when your best quarterback may be on the bench. that may be the case with Arch. I don't know. Quinn Ewers is fine. He threw the interception early against Oklahoma and had a great game. But I think defensively is what separates Texas, because they always, since 2009, when they went to the championship game against Alabama, they would always have that, you know, have that flaw on defensively giving up big plays. They don't do that now. And the fact that they've lost two running backs for the season in the preseason, and they're still running the ball effectively. I saw him against Michigan live. I love what Steve Sarkisian is doing, and maybe he's been doing this for years, and it just dawned on me. They're running Bill Walsh's West Coast offense. They throw a lot to the tight end. They pick up ground yards, throwing to the backs, and those jailbreak screens on the perimeter, which a lot of teams do, but it's just little chunks. And then they go over the top when they can with Isaiah Bondo, though I think he's hurt. So I really like Texas in this game. Not by a lot, but I do like them to win.
Yeah. It's going to be a good matchup this weekend. Dennis, we got about 10 seconds. I just want to ask you, has the SEC played itself out of Heisman consideration this year?
Let's see. Dylan Gabriel, Travis Hunter's hurt. Not yet. I mean, we still have a long season to go. I think anything's possible right now.
Anything is possible. You heard it from the man himself. That's Dennis Dye from CBS Sports, man. Always appreciate you, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, awesome stuff, man. Yeah, they're from really Dennis good. Dye.
I love when he agrees with me.
Yeah, I could tell.
Makes you feel good.
You're over there just, you know, rubbing your chin and your beard and just feeling good about all that conversation.
I am the
man.
Brains of the show.
All right, man, we got to roll on. You got a Life of Squid coming up in a minute. I don't even know if I want you to tease it, because it's usually just, you know, long, drawn out, and just not great version of events, man. But what do you got coming up?
Aaron Rodgers did something last night that Tom Brady would never do.
That a boy.
And could never do.
All right, that's coming up on the other side. It's the Life of Squid. It's the Morning Shift, Mike and Bo. Stick with us here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
And?
The Odyssey app. 8:44:42. That's the time as we move through this last segment of the Morning Shift. You know
it.
What I mean?
Really,
I was like,
really
going to say 8:44, and I was like, nah, it's almost 45.
You know, I kind of like
right there right now.
The talk back's not working. I kind of like it because I can push the button and say whatever I want to those guys, and then in my mind they heard it.
Yeah.
And then
respond to us though.
Dylan just looks at me and Garrett just smiles with his Chick-fil-A face and says, "My pleasure." And so it doesn't even matter what I said. Doesn't even matter.
Garrett is like the prototypical Chick-fil-A worker too.
He is absolutely
full of smiles. Bright, shiny day.
With all due respect, and I love going to Chick-fil-A because of the way that it's the service, how quickly the food's good. But Garrett still dresses like he works at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Like, he could
walk.
I respect it, though, man.
It's like a business casual thing going on.
He could literally walk out of here and walk right into Chick-fil-A and just go behind the desk and start working.
Yeah. If anybody out there doesn't get the picture yet, he looks like a freshman at Georgia Tech. Like, that's exactly what we're dealing with back here. Nonetheless, man, we got to get to Life of Squid. I do want to bring this up, man, because Day-Day put out a tweet a minute ago. It's kind of catching fire a little bit. He's watching Penguin right now.
I'm watching it.
I just started a show with Jason Bateman called The Outsider.
What's that on?
I think it's on Max.
Penguin's on Max, so
yeah.
You know.
So, but I asked Day-Day, I was like, give me a ranking for Penguin. So, obviously, I've already started this Outsider show, and I think it's pretty good, too. I'm not ready to rank it, but Day-Day's like, straight up, man, 9 out of 10 right now, if not more. I was like, whoa, dude.
Whoa. Now, I am not caught up. I have not watched this week, which I believe was Sunday.
Are they still doing weekly releases
on
Max?
They do weekly. Well, they aired on HBO, too. It's a joint venture thing. But, yeah, they're doing weekly releases. I am not I'm not caught up. I've not seen this week's yet. But so far, it's been pretty good. And Colin Farrell,
yeah,
dude, like the makeup that they use on him is amazing, because you can't really tell. Amy came downstairs. She's like, "Who is that?" And I was like,
"What do you mean she came downstairs? You're not watching it with her?"
No, she ain't gonna watch Penguin with me. She don't
care.
She's
watching it by yourself.
Penguin, yeah.
You might be a serial killer.
She don't care about comic book movies.
Watching Penguin by yourself.
She is not gonna watch that TV show with me. She wouldn't watch Game of Thrones with me either. She doesn't watch House of Dragon with me.
What does she do? She
watches those murder mysteries where she doesn't want to watch.
Oh, so she's
fake
watching
murder.
Outsider with me.
She wants to watch real murder.
She's watching Investigation Discovery.
You know those Murdoch murders.
Yeah.
Garrett's extended family. It looks like Garrett would be a part of that family too. She watched all that, and I was like, I can't watch this crap.
Don't see my guy.
It sounds like a cry for help.
Don't see my guy like that, man.
Watching Penguin by myself?
Yeah. No, you're talking about your wife. Anyways, don't do my guy like that. You, I'm very intrigued now by Penguin. And I will say, and I know you got to get
pretty good. It's pretty good, actually.
Colin Farrell, there was a piece put out about him a couple months ago about his nonverbal son. I think he is autistic. Great, great dad, dude. Like, I mean, just anybody that has any concerns about that, go look that up. Colin Farrell, a winner in my book, man. Everything he has going on at home. So I'm glad that he's got a hit show now, too.
He's a guy that I never was a fan of early in his career. Because he just came off like a jerk, I felt. But the more and more you get to kind of know the guy.
Matures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, he's new Keanu Reeves, though. That's right. W Sauce. Owl. N. Craft Lager. You want me to bring you one?
Well, I was going to say, I might have one at Dudley's on Saturday night when I'm there hanging out with everybody.
You know, yeah. You can, if they have it. I was hoping they do. Or you and I can bring one when we tailgate for whiskey.
That's a good point.
Whiskey Myers.
Yes, dude. Whiskey Myers,
I think,
Friday night.
I think we need to arrange our situation.
I'm with you.
How
on
we
that.
Meet up on
let's
that.
Let's get it.
Maybe
let's
we go
get
to Arby's
done.
And then go to the.
Yeah, man.
Or we get a sack full of crystals. That'd be good. And then we tailgate. We like sit there and we drink the Allen Lager, craft lager from New Realm, and we eat crystal burgers.
Okay. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. That sounds interesting.
Maybe that's post-game.
Yeah, man. There you go. Now we're talking. Yes, now we're talking. Okay.
Don't forget the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th. The Eagle Watch, go to the 929 Game website, click on the events tab, and you'll see all the information. It is all benefiting my friends at Pets for Vets. The veterans mean a lot to me. So does my dog. You combine the two, boom, you got the greatest veterans charity you can find out there. One of them. Anyways, they're all great because they're all helping our veterans who are very important to me and should be to all of us. They gave us our freedom. All right. Aaron Rodgers, you know, they fire Robert Saleh. Nathaniel Hackett gets taken down a notch. He's just a glorified coffee getter now. And they go out last night. They don't do that well, Mike. The offensively, they move the ball. They struggled in the red zone. They missed some field goals.
Bad red zone.
But the bigger story, one of the bigger stories, was they had 11 penalties for what, like 100? Was it 165 yards? I think
it was bad. It was a big number.
It was a huge number for penalties, and 110. I'm sorry, 110. 11 for 110. He went in last night on the officials in postgame.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. I was about to play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Did you hear that?
Is that sarcastic ball? Is that from?
That's from South Park.
South Park, yeah.
That is where they do the fake.
Everybody's hugging.
And he's like, 15, that's a touchdown for a hug. Like, it's so great, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
I cannot
believe. I was about to play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things.
But I want that drop, Dylan, because I'm going to use that at some point. But that is so good. First off, Aaron Rodgers, me and Steak are talking about this in a break. Aaron Rodgers wants to be different. Steak's right. But also, Aaron Rodgers is the guy that once he goes there, he's going to go all the way there. Yeah. He's not going to half-ass the, hey, guess what? I'm going to get fined. I'm going to get every ounce of my money. He's like the guy that was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium the night they honored Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I can go back more than once for the free hot dogs? Yeah. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back every commercial
hey,
break.
Man, can I have your free hot dog ticket? I'm just picking them up off the ground.
Dude, he's that guy.
Yeah, I respect him.
Tom Brady never did. Do you agree with him, though?
Aaron, I do, and I love the fact that he pointed out against himself because I think too many times it falls on deaf ears when you're just kind of rooting for yourself in these situations. The fact that he can come out and say that, you know, penalty that he benefited from is also bad. I think it means 10 times more in that situation than it would otherwise.
Might as well play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those
You're
things.
Absolutely right. Can I say this, though? Aaron Rodgers annoys me at times. He's a curmudgeon, and he wants to be different. But I do appreciate him at times, and I appreciate how he's not afraid at times. And I think too many people, and you know, like you said, they wouldn't say that. They're afraid. He's not. I like that. I appreciate it about him.
Well, you know who else is not afraid? That's Steak Shapiro, man. We'll check out what's coming up on the Steakhouse when we come back. Stick with us. It's the morning shift. Finishing up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.